of these archaeological details tell us that the last inhabitants of those Western settlement farms starved and froze to death in the spring. One has to wonder why archaeologists did not also find the skeletons of the Norse themselves in those collapsed houses. I suspect that Ivar Bardason failed to mention that his group from Eastern Settlement performed a cleanup of Western Settlement and gave a Christian burial to the bodies of their kinsmen. As for the end of Eastern Settlement, the last Greenland voyage of the royal trading ship promised by the King of Norway was in 1368. That ship sank in the following year. Thereafter, we have records of only four other sailings to Greenland in 1381, 82, 85, and 1406, all by private ships whose captains alleged that their destination had really been Iceland and that they had been blown off course. When we recall that the Norwegian king asserted exclusive rights to the Greenland trade, we must consider four such unintentional voyages as an astonishing coincidence. Much more likely, the captain's claims were just alibis to cover their real intentions. As the captains undoubtedly knew, so few ships were visiting that the Greenlanders were desperate for trade goods, and Norwegian imports could be sold at a big profit. Thorstein Olofsson, captain of the 1406 ship, could not have been too sad at his navigational error, because he spent nearly 4 years in Greenland before returning to Norway in 1410. Captain Olofsson brought back three pieces of recent news from Greenland. First, a man named Kolgrim was burned at the stake in 1407 for having used witchcraft to seduce a woman named Steinen. Second, poor Steinen then went insane and died. Finally, Olofsson himself and a local girl named Sigrid Bjørnsdottir were married in Kvalsey Church on September 14, 1408, after the banns had been read for the happy couple on three previous Sundays and no one had objected. Those are just the usual goings-on for any medieval European Christian society and give no hint of trouble. They are our last definite written notices of Norse Greenland. We don't know exactly when Eastern Settlement vanished. Between 1400 and 1420, the climate in the North Atlantic became colder and stormier, and mentions of ship traffic to Greenland ceased. It was not until 1576 to 1587 that we know definitely of further European visitors, when the English explorers Martin Frobisher and John Davis sighted and landed in Greenland, met Inuit, traded with them, and kidnapped several to bring back to exhibit in England. In 1607, a Danish-Norwegian expedition set out specifically to visit Eastern Settlement, but was deceived by the name into supposing that it lay on Greenland's east coast, and hence found no evidence of the Norse. From then on, throughout the 17th century, more Danish-Norwegian expeditions and Dutch and English whalers stopped in Greenland and kidnapped more Inuit, who were assumed to be descendants of blue-eyed, blonde-haired Vikings, despite their completely different physical appearance and language. Finally, in 1721, the Norwegian Lutheran missionary Hans Egede sailed for Greenland, in the conviction that the Inuit really were Norse Catholics, who had reverted to paganism and must by now be eager for a Christian missionary to convert them to Lutheranism. He happened first to land in the fjords of Western Settlement, where, to his surprise, he found only people who were clearly not Norse, and who showed him ruins of former Norse farms. In 1723, the Inuit showed him more extensive Norse ruins, including Kvalsey Church, at the site of what we now know to be Eastern Settlement. That forced him to admit to himself that the Norse colony really had vanished, and his search for an answer to the mystery began. He wondered whether the Norse had been exterminated by the Inuit. Ever since then, visitors and archaeologists have been trying to find out the answer. The archaeological investigations of the top layers at Western Settlement tell us something about the proximate causes of the collapse in the final year there. But we have no corresponding information about what happened in the last year of Eastern Settlement, because its top layers have not been investigated. Having taken the story this far, I can't resist fleshing out the end with some speculation. It seems to me that the collapse of Eastern Settlement must have been sudden. Greenland Norse society was a delicately balanced house of cards, whose ability to remain standing depended ultimately on the authority of the church and of the chiefs. Respect for both of those authorities would have declined when the promised ships stopped coming from Norway, and when the climate got colder. The last bishop of Greenland died around 1378, and no new bishop arrived from Norway to replace him. How could that society have continued to function when the last priest ordained by the last bishop eventually died? Similarly, the authority of a chief depended on the chief's having resources to redistribute to his followers in hard times. If the people on poor farms were starving to death while the chief survived on an adjacent richer farm, would the poor farmers have continued to obey their chief up to their last breath? One can imagine the smaller and more marginal farms of the eastern settlement getting starved out. But what could have happened at Garter, whose two cattle barns had space for 160 cows and which had uncounted herds of sheep? I would guess that at the end, Garter was like an overcrowded lifeboat. Starving people would have poured into Garter, and the outnumbered chiefs and church officials could no longer prevent them from slaughtering the last cattle and sheep. Garter's supplies, which might have sufficed to keep Garter's own inhabitants alive, would have been used up in the last winter when everybody tried to climb into the lifeboat. Eastern settlement was larger than Western settlement, but the outcome was the same. It merely took longer.